Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is the account from Ezekiel 34 that you just heard. Well, it's been about a year since we enjoyed one of the most wonderful family gatherings that I have been blessed to participate in. Cheryl and I were privileged to be able to take our entire family, our children and grandchildren, even my mother and my sister with us for 10 days in paradise. Well, it wasn't literally paradise, but it was in the winter, Cancun, on the beach with perfect weather, yeah, and lots of good food, good drink, and most of all, just wonderful conversation and life together. You know, we really anticipated that for quite a while because Cheryl and I kind of had that experience having gone a number of times in the past and then being able to do this. And as we look forward to it, you know, that was part of the fun, just knowing that it was going to happen. And then when it actually did, we weren't at all disappointed. Now, it might sound kind of cruel for me to talk about something like that with what is coming this year, not only for us, but for you guys. But I want to talk about the importance of looking forward to a wonderful time of gathering together with people that you care about dearly and with whom you share the most intimate and important aspects of life, especially your faith. Ezekiel is exhorting exiled Israel to do just that. Here again, these excerpts from the text. As a shepherd seeks out his flock, I will rescue them. I will gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. I will feed them with good pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, declares the Lord God. Declares the Lord God. You can look forward to this. It's going to happen, says Ezekiel. And you know, so can we. That promised gathering is for us as well. Israel really needed to hear this word. They needed to be encouraged to look forward because they were exiled from their homeland. They were divided and dispersed in their Babylonian captivity. And this is a result of much other scattering that took place beforehand, the scattering that resulted from sin, the separation of judgment that God brings about on people who go against his will and his ways. They had false shepherds, false leaders. The sheep were evil. They were gouging and pushing away one another. And judgment is pronounced in this text as well, that all things will be set right. And that while his weak and injured sheep can look forward to blessing and feeding on green pastures, the wicked can look forward to feeding on justice. Now, this follows what we have here in Ezekiel, really in the whole book, a pattern of sin and separation that goes back to nearly the beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden, going against God and then being separated from him. Where are you? He called out to Adam and Eve. And then we see this happening with nations at Babel. And of course, there is the divided monarchy and now the exile. We can also give countless personal examples of how this pattern of sin and separation from God brought strife and separation and scattering from one another, from Cain to Joseph, to all the accounts of wicked kings. Before that, the time of Judges, where everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Sin is associated with scattering and separation as judgment in God's word. I think we should use this also as a hermeneutic to understand our reality today, a secular world that is a God-forsaking world, and the consequences of that. When was the last time you saw a narrative in the popular culture that actually incorporated God into reality? It's almost like, even though it is unconscious, like it's intentional that people try to interpret reality apart from God. Of course, it is intentional on the part of the devil, and he is the functional God of this world. We also see the personal examples in divorce and family strife, and of course, the much documented recent racial and political conflict. And then there is COVID-19. Babel 2.0. What is God up to? Well, we have the direct consequences of illness. Millions of people that have been beset by this disease. Over a quarter of a million deaths, at least that many in our country alone. Sin and scattering in this fallen world. These signs of the end, natural and man-made disasters that call for the Lord to return. But today I want to also think about an impact of COVID-19 that is very palpable in the loss of community, the scattering. You know, the so-called gathering together at distances where we can't see one another's faces. You can see mine, but I can't see the rest of you. I don't know if you're frowning at me or smiling or just fighting off sleep. No hugs. And here we look forward, and I use that in quotes, to now holiday, quote, gatherings, trying to balance the need for safety measures while lamenting the loss of community. Okay. We have our exile also. And while sin and separation were real for the people of Israel, they're real for us, the promise and exhortation of Ezekiel is as well. This promised gathering. And this isn't just some opium of the masses, some drug that during some hazy time and dreamy time you can kind of retreat to and then you have to wake up to reality. No, this is a future reality promised and prophesied. Ezekiel says, as a shepherd seeks out his flock, I will rescue them. I will gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. I will feed them with good pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, declares the Lord God. The day is coming. The day is coming. Now, this week we've heard some wonderful sermons preparing, the sinful side of our nature to be aware and alert for that day through repentance and faith. But today I want to encourage us in the more saintly side of that nature to realize in hope that that day is coming where the scattered will be gathered and will be brought to a real paradise. Not just a dream vacation, but a real paradise. To anticipate that. And we know that it's true. I've been saying that. We know it's for sure because it was brought about, as Ezekiel said, by, quote, my servant David. Of course, we know who the son of David is. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the basis and the certainty of this promise. the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, who on the cross expressed the pain of separation brought about by sin when he cries out, and it's not a question, it's an exclamation of pain, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, he knew it wasn't a question because they'd already had this conversation in the garden, and he agreed, not my will, but thy will be done. I will do that. I will make the sacrifice of being separated from you to bring about peace with God for your people. I will bring about reconciliation with you so that they can also be reconciled with all in your kingdom on the last day. That final day will be a great gathering. It began, it already started. It began at Pentecost. At Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes upon the people and he brings those who are living after Christ's resurrection into the church created by that promise of his death and resurrection, undoing Babel, bringing back together all people through Christ and his sacrifice. And that has continued, this last day preparation has continued as you experience it in your own homes and Christian communities, your churches. Receiving the promise of baptism, gathering around the Lord's table to know that holy communion of faith. As we read in that early church, it's true today too, we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. And it is this now of faith that can sustain us through pandemics and whatever else is coming here in the end time. It is the comfort of sharing God's word like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that in the end, my cup overflows. But it's not yet like we're going to see on that last day. Even when the masks were off, when the hugs were there, it still wasn't like what it's going to be like on the last day. When the shepherd seeks out his flock, when he rescues them, when he gathers them. I just love the way Luther highlights this in the explanation of the third article we just said. You know, in the first part where it's about personal faith, of course, we don't say gather. But then he says, in the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one, united one, true faith. And this gathering isn't just going to be a bunch of people gathering around, you know, being together, but it's going to be in this paradisical reality. If you read on and into verses 25 to 31 after our text, talks about the covenant of peace where all the wild beasts of the land, where the wilderness is gone, pushed away, and it's a place of blessing and grazing on the mountain heights of Israel. Truly a paradise to look forward to. Yes, you can give yourself permission, no matter what time you have and what season of your life you're in, what experience, what disappointment, to look forward to this day that is coming, because it will be paradise for God's people. It's something you can anticipate. It's why second to last verse of the Bible is, Amen, come Lord Jesus. And we don't just have to do this at the end of the church year, but it's always appropriate to say, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Please rise and comfort and encourage one another as we await that day as we sing Psalm 23.